Today's shir is Masechta Zvachim Daf Nun Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous shir, the Gemara had identified that the Mizbeach is supposed to be in Shevet Binyamin's territory, and part of the Mizbeach actually was in Yehuda's territory, and that's why there was no Yisoid under the space where it was Yehuda's territory. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Levi, Bechamar Amar Rav Chama Bechanina, Ritzua Haytzu Yoytz Mishchelkel Sheyehuda. There was a strip of land that went out of the territory of Yehuda. V'nechneses Mishchelkel Shebinyamin. It went into Binyamin's territory. V'hoy Binyamin had tzadik mitzdar la b'chol yoyim Lenotli. And Binyamin really wanted that it should be in his territory. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, as Moshe Rabbeinu gave brachas to Klal Yisrael, Parshas Zois HaBracha, before Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Choyfef Olav Kol HaYoyim. Simple pshat means that Binyamin, Choyfef Olav Kol HaYoyim, was restless. He was very restless why he did not get to have the share of the entire base of Mikdash in his territory. Because he showed such extreme interest in having the base of Mikdash, all of the Mizbeach, in his territory, says the Maral Fichach, because he showed that great interest, Zocha B'yamin HaTzadik, B'yamin HaTzadik had the schus. He became the host of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, obeying Seif of Shachem, the base of Mikdash is in the share of Shevet Binyamin. And he had that schus to have it in his share because he really wanted it that much. We find in Chazal many reasons why it was indeed Shevet Binyamin who was the one that had the base of Mikdash in his territory. The Gemara Masechta Sota says, Tanya Hayiramei Omer B'Shor Shamdu Yisrael Asfas Hayam. When Klal Yisrael was standing right by Yamsuf, Hayon Shvatim Menachem Zeh Zeh. The Shvatim were starting to debate. Zeh Me'a Niyar T'chil Hayam, Zeh Me'a Yit T'chil. Every Shevet said that they will be the first. But Binyamin was the one that actually jumped in first. And because Binyamin, and I think Pshat is that Al Nasiim, when we speak about the Nasi, so Nachshon was the one that jumped in first. But when we speak about and Shevet, the Shevet that jumped in first was Shevet Binyamin. Another explanation is the Brisa says, Tanya Neimah Zocha Binyamin Shetishu Shechina B'chelkoi. Why was the Shechina in the Chelik of Binyamin? Because all of the Shvatim, other than Yosef, other than Binyamin, were born in Chutz Lartz. Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. The Yalkut Shemini explains that the way to understand it is that there's a father who has a number of children. The father now goes to visit, he's on his own, and he goes to visit different children. But most common is that he's going to stay by the youngest child. Binyamin, who was Yaakov Avinu's youngest child, that's where the Shechina is. Another explanation is that all of the Shvatim participated in Mechiras Yosef. But Binyamin, of course, did not participate in Mechiras Yosef. And because he did not participate in Mechiras Yosef, then the halach is, that's why he had the schus that it was in his territory. I saw an interesting question. Al Gemara is saying how anxious Binyamin was that the Beis HaMikdash should be completely built in his territory and not in the territory of Yehuda. And the Sefer Shvili HaParsha asks, we know that the Seres HaDibris talks about the Isser of Loisachmoid. We're not allowed to be jealous, we're not allowed to want to have something that belongs to somebody else. So he wants to suggest, when it comes to Dvar Mitzvah, here we find that Binyamin was, so to speak, jealous that he should not, that somebody had another shear? And the answer is that when it comes to var mitzvah, that's, it's not considered that a violation of leisachmeid. Moreover, as I sort of mafarshim explained, what he was demonstrating, what was being demonstrated here, was his incredible desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no issue of jealousy when we speak about being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since that was Binyamin's entire desire, just to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why there's nothing wrong. Because, as I saw the Sefer Vanis Tfilah explains, the Sefer and explains is that Binyamin showed that what was most important to him is that he should have that special closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even though he was so anxious to have that special closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see that he wanted it, but he didn't do anything other than daven and want to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu near him, showing that was most important to him. Continues the Gemara, Meisvei asked the Gemara, we go back to what we discussed in our previous year, that there was no Yesoid on the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, the Mishnah we're going to learn later in Amasechta, on Daf Samach Dalad on the base, tells us, Oilas Oif Kaitza Hoysanasis. Exactly how was the Oilas Oif brought? Haimalachas Roy Shoymim Mol Arpai, as we've discussed in our previous Urim, when we kill a bird in the base of Mikdash, it's not done in the same way as we do Shchit on a bird that we're going to eat, that they pierce the neck of the bird from the back, Mimol Arpa from the back, Umavdol, and we pierce the two Simonim. The halacha is that there's a difference between when we shecht a oilas oif and a chatas oif. By a chatas oif, we don't completely decapitate the bird. And therefore, it's enough just to do roiv of the simonim. By oilas oif, we have to completely decapitate the bird. So mavdol, we cut the simonim, roiv of the simonim, and then we squeeze out the blood on the wall of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that in that corner that we just identified, there was no, where they did Malika, says the Gemara, when you're doing the Mitzvah Hadam, it's just going to flow on the floor. And how could that be? We keep on learning that the blood has to go down to your side. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Eimer Kach Hisnu. When they divided up the territory, what they agreed was that Vira de Binyamin Karka de Yehuda. That even though the actual territory where that corner is, that southeast corner, is in Yehuda's territory, but the airspace above the territory is Yehuda, is Binyamin's. And the way I saw that the Mefarshim point out is that they had some sort of a ledge sticking out on that side where they did the Mitzvah Adam, and that's where the Mitzvah, and that's where the blood that they did, that's where the blood of the carbon rested. And I saw that the Rashi points out that even though they made this ledge, it still doesn't have the din of Yesoid. Because the difference of Yesoid is that the halach of Yesoid is only when it's on the ground. This wasn't actually on the ground of the Mizbeach. Of course, the other question is that we know the Pasuk says, Hakol b'ksav Hashem miyad alai Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskol, that the entire building of the Mishkan was on the Beis HaMikdash was told by David HaMelech clearly Beruach HaKodesh. So how could they add this ledge when it wasn't part of the design of the Beis HaMikdash. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer to the question is that indeed, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed David HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, etc., that was all included in what should be there. That's one pshat that I saw. The other pshat that I saw is that ledge, this lita that we're speaking about, was not there on a permanent basis. Whenever they brought this carbon, they would put the chatas oif, they would put the sledge there, and then when they finished, they would remove it. But David HaMelech says that you're not allowed to change the way the Beis HaMikdash is built. What he means to say is that it could only be built that way. It could only be that way if it's permanent. It may not be there. Only what Hashem told him permanently. This wasn't permanent. Says the Gemara, what does it mean when we say that Mai, when we keep on saying that Karim is Rach Strems Lehavali Yisoid, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Mai Lehavali Yisoid, Rav Abinyan, there was no Yisoid built on that corner at all. Levi Amar Bedamim, that there was Yisoid there, but there was no dam put there, even though, as we often speak about, the dam being put on the Yisoid. Says the Gemara, Rav Metargim, Rav explains the pasuk that we've been discussing, that says, Binyamin Zev Yitrev, Bechsante Yisbene Be'ed Becha, that the pasuk is teaching us that only in Binyamin's territory will the Mizbeach be built, and not in the territory of Yehuda. And as we've been saying, since that place is in Yehuda's territory, so that's why there was no Yisoy there. Levi Metagim Bechsante Yisbene Megdisha, Umakim Mekudesh Ladamim. The part where the blood can be poured is only where Binyamin has his territory. That doesn't mean that you can't have a Yisoid built on Yehuda's territory. You can have a Yisoid built on Yehuda's territory, but it's not going to be a place where you could do the halacha of Shiore Adam poured. So I saw that the Taurus Kodesh explains what is the basis of this machloikus. The question here is that if it's not Binyamin's territory, is so it doesn't have Kedushas Mizbeach, that means you could have a Mizbeach anywhere, but to give it the special Kedusha, that could only be where is Binyamin's territory. Or does the pasuk mean to say you can't have a Mizbeach? The Kedusha is immaterial. You can't have a Mizbeach on territory which is not Binyamin's territory. Says the Gemara Toshma. The Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rav's opinion. The Mishnah says in Pesach Midas Perigimel Mishnah Aleph. Hayisoidei Mehalach Bnei Kol Tzofen. The Yisoid went around the north side. V'apnei Kol Amaravan around the west side. Oichel B'dara Amma U'B'Mizrach Amma Achas. Presumably, what the Gemara means to say, the Mishnah means to say, and there was only an Amma of Yisoid on the east side and on the south side. So it seems that the Mishnah is teaching us that there was no Yisoid at all there. Not that there was a Yisoid that wasn't used, which is clearly Rav's opinion. And to the Gemara, it's not a proof, because what does the Mishnah mean to say? It doesn't mean that there was no Yisoid. What it means to say is that there was a Yisoid there, but the special halakhas that the Yisoid have, that you pour the dam on the Yisoid, the halakha is that space doesn't have that Kedusha. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara wants to bring a raya to the opinion of Levi. Toshma. The Mishnah over there continues. Hamizbeach Shloish Mishtaim Ashloish Mishtaim. When they began building the Mizbeach, they began with a foundation that was 32 on 32. So you see that it was the entire, the Mizbeach was a square, and the bottom Amma was around the entire Mizbeach, like Levi says. Says the Gemara, Hachamai Skinim Hatzad, that the Mishnah is saying that we started without a base, but that doesn't mean that they actually had a Yisoid on those sides. Toshma, Nimtza Perech Ama Al Yisoid Ama Al Hasoiviv. The Mishnah, later in Amasech on Daf Samach Beis on a Beis, speaks about the ramp, the Kevesh, and the Mishnah over there describes that it overlapped on top of the Yisoid and Amma, and then another Amit overlapped on the Soiviv on the ledge. So we see, and we know, that the ramp was on the south side, and the Mishnah is saying that the ramp overlapped the Yisoid. So we see that there's Yisoid even on the south side. Ema, says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. What that Mishnah means to say is, Keneged Am Yisoid, the place where if there was a Yisoid, that space, that Amma, where we physically don't necessarily have a Yisoid, but we have that space, the ramp overlapped it. And similarly, Amma Soiviv and it went, overlapped the ramp. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they had a ramp, that they actually had a Yisoid on that place. Toshma, so the Gemara again wants to bring a raya to Levi's opinion. Says Mother Tani Levi, the Brisa teaches us, actually, how was the base Mizbeach built? Mavin Malabin, as we just said, we brought a form that was a frame, Shuhu Shloshim Shtayim, Al Shloshim Shtayim, that was 32 Amis by 32 Amis, the Goiva, and the height of this stat was Amma. And I saw that the Mefarshim point out that all these brises are a riot that the Gemara is trying to bring, are a riot to Levi. Maybe Rav did not learn this brisa, and therefore why is it considered a question of Rav? And the Sefer Chibas HaKodesh says, Levi would have not considered a brisa that's authoritative if it was a brisa that Rav did not agree was authoritative. So again, we began with this frame that was 32 amma by 32 amma by the height of an amma. They brought moist stones. They brought most smooth stones. Bengadars, bengtanis, all sides, all sorts of sizes of stones. Maybe sud kananya vazefas, and then they brought cement and lime and tar, and like that they smoothed out that entire frame, the shofach, and poured into that frame, and that 32 amma by 32 amma, by the height of an amma, is the shisoid. Then, continues the Mishnah to describe, then they brought another frame, which was 30 amma by 30 amma, by the height of five amas, or maybe chalukei avonim, and again they brought all types of stone to fill up that entire frame. On top of that, five amas is where we have the ledge that we keep on speaking about. Then then we bring another frame which is 28 by 28 amas. That frame is Goyva Sholish Amos, is three Amos tall, or maybe Chaluk, and again we bring all those stones and fill up that frame. Vumakam Amarocha. And that's the place where we ultimately had the surface of the Mizbeach, the roof of the Mizbeach. And then, Vachoz Mevi Malavin Shu'al Amma Ava, then we bring a frame of an Amma by an Amma. Maybe Chaluk Avarim Fulamas Ben Gdos Ben Gdanis, or maybe Zefi Vekunya, we fill up each one of these pieces, these frames, by an amma. The came the chol kerem v'kerem, and as we know, there were four corners around the mizbeach. So this was the four corners of the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, vim timer. So this again, it seems to be an indication that there was a frame of 32 amma by 32 amma, indicating that the mizbeach was 32 amas by 32 amas on all four sides. Like Levi said, there was a yisoid around all the sides. The chitema, if we say, says the Rambam, maybe what we'll say happened afterwards was, the Geisley, they cut off on the Durham and Mizrach side, the part that was supposed to be the yisoid. So you started with it, and then they cut it away. But says the Gemara, that wouldn't be acceptable. The pasuk says, "Avadim shleim is tizbech m'shem elakecha." So the Torah says that you have to use whole stones that may not be cut. So we see that a raya to Levi. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. There was no yisoid on the Mizrach and Darim side. The Machas Midah to save Shakalei, when they put this frame, they specifically put the frame in a way that there wouldn't be stones there in the first place, and there would be no need to cut them away. The Tosfos points out, quoting a Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, that the Torah says that the stones that are used for the Mizbeach have to be Avonim Shlemus. But Tosfos says that why couldn't you just take something and make a smooth cut to make sure that they'll be cut smoothly? Because the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Leisarnef Aleim Barzel, you're not allowed to use any metal blade to cut those stones. But we know that the Gemara in Masech the Gittin, Daf Samaches, speaks about the worm that was called the Shamir, that Shlomo HaMelech got that Shamir, and the Shamir was used to cut the stones of the Beis HaMikdash because that they couldn't use the metal blade. So ask Tosfos, so yes, they can use a metal blade to cut the stones in the Mizbeach, but why can't they have used the Shamir? So Tosfos answers that even though the Shamir has this ability to cut through anything, it doesn't leave a smooth break. And we just learned that it has to be Avonim Shlemus. The Yavit says that the definition of Avonim Shlemus is that the stones have to be stones that were never altered, not cut in any way. And therefore, even the Shamir would not be allowed to be used for the stones on the Mizbeach. So ask Tosfos, why, if there's halacha, if we see that we can't use the Shamir for using building the Mizbeach, so why could the Shamir be used in other places in the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Sefer, the Rishon, the Rikarkas explains that the Mizbeach required a stricter standard of Vevin Shlema than the Beis HaMikdash. The obligation of using an Evan Shlema for the Mizbeach is a pasuk in the Torah, where the Torah tells us to use Evan Shlemas. Whereas the requirement for the rest of the Beis HaMikdash to use Evan Shlema is a pasuk in Melachim, where the pasuk says, Evan Shlema Masa Nivna. So therefore, when we speak about the Mizbeach, the slightest nick is a problem, a violation of a chiv derais of Evan Shlema. And therefore, you can't use the Shamir, because the Shamir cannot guarantee such a clean, smooth cut. Whereas, in the rest of the Beis HaMikdash, as long as to the eye it looks like it's a clean cut, even though maybe under further examination it's not the same cut, that's going to still be considered for the rest of the Beis HaMikdash Oven Shlema. The Gemara we just learned says that they built the Beis Beach with taking these frames and filling them up with smooth stones. Why was it need to use smooth stones? So I saw that Tosfos from Sechta Chulin explains that soft stones, moist stones, come from a river, and those stones are typically very smooth with any nicks. And the Rambam, however, says that they weren't taken from the river. The Rambam says they were taken from virgin soil in an undeveloped area, and that's where they could get these smooth stones. And again, the Mishnah Melech says they would be careful to try to find stones that they could be confident never came into something that they would have been cut, that they were always in the natural state as had they be had begun. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara just said that how was it built, the frame of the foundation, that in that spot where they didn't have Yusoid, they just filled it up that they should not have stone there. Dilei Teima Hacham, if you're not going to suggest that that's the way it was built, says the Gemara, Hadam Rav Kahana, Avarim Shekranes Chalulus Haya. These corners that we just described, how they were manufactured, were hallowed. Because the Pasuk says, the Navi says, V'mola b'mizra k'zavis mizbeach. The Navi says that the Mitzvah, when Mashiach comes, we're going to be able to take everything that belongs to our oppressors. And just like we have the corners of the Mizbeach that we fill up with wine. So we see that you could have a corner that is Hakanami. How could you have a corner with a hole in it? Avayna Shleimus Amrachmana. The Torah says, as we just described extensively, that in order to build a base, the Mizbech, you have to have Avayna Shleimus. Ela Machs Midi B'Tasei V'Shakalei. When they built it, they put something in there to prevent it from filling up. And that's why they just pulled it out, and therefore they could have a hollow hole, a hollow keren. Hakanami, that was the same here, and that's why you didn't have that problem that you had your side on that side. Continues the Gemara. Dorish Rava, Maidik Siv. The Pasuk says, V'yelech Dov the Shmuel, V'yeshu B'Novius B'Roma. The question is, V'chiman Inyu, V'chiman Inyu Novius Etzel Roma. What does this Pasuk mean to tell us? Says the Gemara, Elishaya, Yoshvim B'Roma, Shmuel and David were sitting together. They were sitting in Rama, and they were discussing the building of the Beis HaMikdash that is the most beautiful spot in the world. Amri, they said, the Pasuk says regarding the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the Lishkas HaGozes with a Kohanim, where the Sanhedrin sat, was by the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk says, Ki palim chadov l'mishpat, divay rivis b'sherecha, v'kamta v'alisa l'makam shivcha Hashem al-kechaba. The Pasuk uses the word liyah to go up. Melamed, shebeis HaMikdash gavoy mekol Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash was the tallest place in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, and when we speak about Eretz Yisrael, is gavoy mekol Eretz Yisrael, is taller than any other place in the world. And now the Gemara says, Lo have you do... They weren't exactly sure where to place the Beis HaMikdash is. I see. So what happened was, Shmuel and David brought a safer Yeshua. The Bekulaksiv, that when the Torah speaks about the territories of all the Shvatim, Ksiv, V'yardagvul, V'taragvul, the Pasuk says that you have to go down. But when the Torah says about the territory of Shevet Binyamin, which as we learned at the beginning of our shir, is where the Beis HaMikdash was built. The Pasuk says, V'olagsiv, V'yorad, that you go down, loiksiv. So obviously they said, Shmamino, that the space to build the Beis HaMikdash is the place which is so tall that's where the Beis HaMikdash should be built. That tall spot is where to build it. So they went and they looked, as we're saying, for the tallest spot. The tallest spot, they wanted to build it in Ein Itam, which is the tallest spot. Amri, but then they said, then Shmuel and David said, it shouldn't be built there. The Sati Bei Kolel, let's move it down a little. Why? Because when the Pasuk describes the Beis HaMikdash being built in Shevet Binyamin's territory, it says a bank safe of Shochin. It should be not all the way in the top with a head, but rather it should be a little lower by the shoulders. V'bayis Seima, another reason why they didn't build it necessarily at the tallest spot, they built it a little lower down. The Gemiri, they knew that the Sanhedrin supposed to be Bechelka de Yehuda, in the territory of Yehuda. And the Beis HaMikdash, as we know, is supposed to be B'chalkit Binyanim. V'madlinele, if we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itaim, Mispalik Tuvei, it'll be a far distance from where the Sanhedrin is sitting in the territory of Yehuda versus where the Beis HaMikdash is. It'll be further than the entire area of the Har HaBayis. And that's why they decided, Mutav the Nesa Beipurta, it's better that we should lower the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and they brought a raya that that's the right thing to do because the Pasuk says, a bank safe of Shochet. So I saw that the Sefer Ben Yoyada explains that the Sefer HaChinuch, when it describes the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, says, the building of the Beis HaMikdash is not an obligation of any one individual. It's an obligation of all of Klal Yisrael. But he continues to explain that that mitzvah cannot be fulfilled until Klal Yisrael appoints a melech. The Ben Yoyada goes on to explain that Shaul HaMelech, after he was appointed to be king, wanted to identify the place to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he was never successful. Only David HaMelech was able, as we just learned, to identify where the Beis HaMikdash should be built, and that was a proof to everybody that David HaMelech is really supposed to be the Melech, because David HaMelech was the one that was able to find the place. So, of course, the question is, we just learned that the place of the Beis HaMikdash is all identifiable through Psukim in the Torah about Shevet Binyamin. So the Ben Yoyada asks, where do we see the greatness of David HaMelech in this episode? Says the Ben Yoyada, it was Min HaShemayim. As we just said, truthfully, it was not supposed to be so difficult to identify where the Beis HaMikdash is. The fact that it required David HaMelech to do it, until then nobody else was able to figure it out, is a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that this has to be done to the Beis HaMelech, through the Melech, and the true Melech is David. I saw that the Shema Shmuel explains that the only person that could be the person to identify and build the Beis HaMikdash is somebody who has that great desire to build the Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech, we know, had that burning desire to build the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he was the one that had the schus of building the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says here that Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Kol Haaretzes, and the makom of the Beis HaMikdash is taller, we've been learning, than any other place. So I saw that the Mefarshim try to understand that we see that Yerushalayim is not the tallest place. So how are we saying that the Beis HaMikdash is gevoyah from all of Eretz Yisrael? So the Tvas says that Yerushalayim, during the many times that Yerushalayim was captured in wars against Yerushalayim, part of what the Nochrim do is that they constantly built on top of Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Pasuk says, Aru, Aru, Arei Yisoyba. And every time that they built the Beis HaMikdash, they built every time the Nochrim, our enemies, attacked Yerushalayim, they specifically tried to push down where the Makom HaMikdash should be, because they knew that the Makom HaMikdash is supposed to be Gevoyah Mikol Haaretz, it's supposed to be the highest spot in Eretz Yisrael. They did not want that to be the case, and that's why they went out of the way to destroy that place. I saw that there was once somebody who was suffering, and he went to Reb Shul Leib Diskin to ask him what could he do. So the Reb Shul Leib Diskin said that what he should learn is Masechta Midas. So nobody really understood what Pshat and that is. So the Satmar Rebbe once explained that our Gemara tells us that David and Shlomo David and Shmuel were sitting and discussing how and where the Beis Hamikdash should be built. When was that conversation taking place? So he explained that the conversation, as we're seeing now, took place when Shaul wanted to attack David. And what did David HaMelech do when he wanted to make the, when he was being attacked? He learned about the Beis Hamikdash. Besecht HaMidos is all about the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash. That is a Yeshua if somebody is suffering where other people want to harm him. And the reason, he explained, is because the Makom HaMikdash is the place that we are under the Shekhinah of, we are protected by the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are protected by the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nobody could do anything. I saw another pshat, Eretz Yisrael, Gavayim HaKolaratzis. Eretz always represents Gashmius. That the Gashmius of Eretz Yisrael is different than the Gashmius of any other place. In all other places, there's Gashmius and Ruchnius, two different concepts. But when we speak about Eretz Yisrael, when we speak about Eretz Yisrael is a place that the Gashmius, Eretz Yisrael, the Gashmius of Eretz Yisrael is greater than anywhere else. And that's why only somebody as great as David, which David HaMelech represents Mashiach Tzidkenu, only somebody who is able to appreciate that everything we do, the building of a Beis HaMikdash, is all really just there to be a place for the Shekhinah HaKadosha. That's the one that could be one that build, that's the one that could build the Beis HaMikdash and identify the place of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Medrash, there's a Gemara later in Amasech, the Daf Kuf Yud Gimel on the Beis, that says that Lo Yard Mabel Beretz Yisrael, that the Mabel did not fall in Eretz Yisrael. And I saw that why did the Mabel not fall in Eretz Yisrael? Because as we're learning in our Gemara, that Eretz Yisrael is higher than everywhere else. And because Eretz Yisrael is higher than everywhere else, the Mabel, the water, did not reach that high. And that's why there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. The Gevayim Mikol HaRotzos, another pshat is that the Beis HaMikdash is Gevayim Mikol HaRotzos. It stands above, higher and above any mundane matters. It says the Gemara, Val Davazer, this that Shmuel and David were discussing where the Beis HaMikdash should be built. And David HaMelech was the one that figured it out. The Skana David HaDomi B'David. That's why David HaDomi was jealous of David. The pasuk says, "Kikinus beischa chlosani." I was jealous because of your able to identify where the Beis HaMikdash is. Viksiv, and the pasuk continues to tell us in Tehillim, Parakuf Lamed Beis. Zuchah Hashem Adavid as kol unvasoi ashenishbel Hashem imava be'al beisi imata in shneis la'enei la'fapai tenuma aram tzemaklam Hashem. David HaMelech damta Hakadosh Baruch Hu that he should not have anything in this world, that he should not sleep until identifies the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk continues, Hine shemana b'afrasa b'tzenua b'steyar b'afrasa Yeshua d'kasi b'afrayim. He found the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua who comes from Shevet Ephraim where the Beis HaMikdash should be. B'tzenua b'steyar zeh Binyamin. The place to build the Beis HaMikdash is in the territory of Binyamin. As we know, the pasuk says about him, Binyamin Zev Yitrov. So the Mefarshim ask, how could David HaMelech made a neder that he should not sleep? We know that the Gemara says that if somebody makes a neder, he's not going to sleep for 3 days. It's a neder that's impossible to fulfill. So over here, how could he make the nether? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the nether that he made that he wouldn't sleep means that he wouldn't lay down on a bed. But if he'll fall asleep, he'll fall asleep. Another pshat is, and what David HaMelech said was that he would do everything in his power to make sure that he is able to identify the place of the Beis HaMikdash. But not that if he falls asleep on his own, that would be a violation. If he falls asleep on his own because he's a human being, so there's nothing we could do to stop it. The Mefarshim ask that the Pasuk says that David HaMelech brought Kabbonis in Goyen Arnon, that Kleiser was suffering from a pandemic, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that that's the Makom HaMikdash. So what are we learning that David HaMelech went through all these psukim to identify where the Makom HaMikdash is? The Pasuk says that David HaMelech realized that that's the Makom HaMikdash based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. So I saw that the Yaivitz explains that first David HaMelech was, that's the Makom HaMikdash, but he did not know exactly where and how and what were the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he accomplished with what we learned in the discussion of today's Gemara.